baby.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Jeez, how can I can't follow that up? Happy Saturday to you and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. I am 25 today.
Aren't we all? That's funny because I'm 24. I don't know how that happened.
How does that work?
And I see you're in your spiffy thank Hershey you. Shirt. Was that? I think that was one of your gifts.
Yes, or, it was a gift okay. from mom.
Awesome.
I asked for the shirt. Have you ever been to Hershey Park, Pennsylvania?
I have been to, well, I've been to Hershey's before it was a park.
Really?
Yeah, we used to, when we go back to Pennsylvania, we went to the Hershey factory and whatever. And I think we've been a couple times. I remember literally, I felt like at one point you're kind of almost literally looking into the chocolate vats. This was before it became this kind of theme park thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I as a kid, I mean, I love the Hershey Kiss street lamps. I assume that's still a thing out there. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yep. So.
You know what's cool, though, about the fact that you saw it before it was a park is that factory, they built another one and they closed the old one down. And the old one was like Milton Hershey, like turn of the century, like created chocolate factory. So the fact that you saw the like original is pretty
yeah.
cool.
I'll find some pictures, but yeah, I was like, and I remember we went back, and at that point, it hadn't become a theme park, but it already started getting commercialized, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember walking, because I know you'd walk through a tunnel, and like, this is what's like in the oven, and it was probably, 100 degrees, but not, you know.
It's the closest you get to Wonka without Timothy Chalamet.
I know, that's what I thought as a little kid. I'm like, Timothy who?
That's so cool you saw that because the, like you said, commercialized, you go there now and there's characters like a chocolate bar and like a Hershey Kiss, like Disney character kind of things. Cast members, as they call them, that walk around and, you know, it's like roller coasters. But I feel like, and they have a concert. Like I've seen some concerts there. They have like a great
I know
music hall there, like outdoor arena. So that's pretty cool that you got a chance to go though.
Oh yeah. I remember liking that a lot. So.
Very cool. Well, thank you for the wishes, sir. And you're listening to the podcast Set Jetter Saturdays with, of course, Robert Patterson. Check out his website at setjetter.com and follow him on Instagram at @set_jetter. We got a great show tonight. We're going to kick it off with what you've been watching. And I want to kick it off with you, Robert, because I can't believe you watch this. And it's amazing.
Well, here's the thing. Usually I have a big list. And this time I have I've only watched one thing since our last podcast. And usually it's almost the opposite where I was like, I'm so busy, but somehow I worked in these 15 movies.
Right. Yeah.
On the background. So,
yeah.
I somehow decided to put on, because of a free YouTube movie, Arthur 2 on the rocks.
On the rocks.
How was it?
I think I've only seen it once.
I think so too. And it was kind of vague. I vaguely remembered some scenes about it and you just knew it wasn't right. So, 1988 movie, so I would have been 18. I've been obviously way too cool, and the movie is obviously way past its prime, you know, for what we should be doing. And almost immediately, you could tell the joke is well over from the opening scenes. Like the opening scene goes on too long, where he keeps tapping on this limousine next to him. Is like that, you know, he's like this drunk mess, whatever. And I was like, oh my god, did not translate up well. And it just also had that late 80s pastel and kind of softness to it. More or less he went from has to go, you know, from riches to rags and then hopefully back to riches. How will it end? Who knows?
What else could they do at that point? It's like, okay, that's like the obvious choice for us.
Yeah. Had no idea Kathy Bates is in this movie.
Kathy Bates,
Liza Minnelli realized, you know, no, the second scene in the movie, where she's like, I saw the doctor, I can't have kids, and they're like, and then they decide to adopt, and so of course they go to an adoption, you know, and movie adoption agency. It's like, well, sure, just tell me a little bit about yourself, and you know, and like, Kathy Bates, I think you'll be fine, and it's weird because it's Kathy Bates, and she's just so saccharine in this, like. No, I think you're a great couple. And then, of course, by the time that she goes to do a house visit, they're down in the dumps, you know, and they're like, and she's like, no, and she was positive the whole time, like, you'll be just fine, whatever. And then so sure, spoiler alert for anybody that wants to go watch this, is it 35th anniversary of the movie, as we're, maybe that's why it popped up in my head, it's like, it's been 35 years
since. Oh right, yeah, for sure.
He gets his money back, and you know, it's like he goes and surprises Liza Minnelli and whatever, and the crowd's around because he got all these flowers, you know, he spent all this money that he shouldn't be. And then honk honk, Kathy Bates pulls up with the baby. It's like, congratulations, you got your baby.
Getting a pizza.
Yeah. And then at the same time, Liza's now is like, I'm pregnant. And like, it's like, and part of me, I thought Kathy Bates is like, I'll take the baby back, you know, but oh, they're like, no, they're getting both. Right. But if you didn't know, in 1988, apparently that's the most, like literally at one point, whenever they decided you were ready, they just pulled up unannounced and like, congratulations.
In their own car. Like, here you go. So, oh my gosh. It's amazing. Yeah. There's no like background checks or follow-ups. Like, you got it. It's all you.
So if not, take a look at that last scene in Arthur 2 on the rocks.
Oh,
yeah.
I got to watch it now.
Yeah, so it was mildly amusing and in the wrong ways.
I will watch Arthur 2 on the rocks anytime before I watch Russell Brand's Arthur.
Ooh, oh, well, speaking of.
Speaking of him, I won't get into all the nonsense, but did you see the video he put out?
No, I saw a picture where he's like, you could tell it was probably one of those videos.
The whole time his hands are in front of his face and his eyes are wide like this. And there's no accountability, no apologizing, the whole thing is a conspiracy theory about how British legislature is censoring him. And this is all a big ploy to censor him from, like, it was very James Bondish, like, the British government is trying to censor me. And thank you for being on this revolutionary road. I'm like, dude, your 15 minutes were up in 2008. Like, you just need to count all of your assets and sell what you can and just go away and die at this point.
I didn't. Yeah. Part of me is like, I'm sure some people were just Russell who, you know, I think he's just been out of that spotlight for so long, it doesn't even matter. But
I could never stand that guy. And he was on Bill Maher a few times, and I'm like, stop bringing him on. And he's so obnoxious.
Yeah. Well, as is Bill Maher. But.
As is Bill Maher, right.
They're perfect couple.
Perfect couple.
The non-odd couple.
the odd couple. I've been watching a few random things this week. Yeah. I did finish Painkiller.
Okay.
So I liked it. I thought it was good, not great. I feel like if they spent less time doing the fantasy sequences, which I do appreciate at times, I think they should have spent it more on like Edie Flowers. If you're not familiar, listener, she was the investigator. I was really interested in her story and her investigation. I kind of wish she was the show rather than jumping back and forth so much.
Yeah. It almost started off that way. And then she became kind of the bookends or kind of the thread as opposed to the main thing. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But it was good. But you watched the whole thing, right?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. So it was good. So
when they're dancing in Florida and Miami and everything and the people's on stage, I'm like, was this real? Did they really do that? Like, do you know if that was like fictionalized or?
Only because I just recently went to an event last night where something seemed to be like, I'm used to my nonprofit,
a dancey,
you know,
OxyContin.
Gala's a thing, you know, something like that. And this was a law firm celebrating whatever. And I can't remember, I don't know what theme they were playing to echoing. I was like, time to go. Like, are they doing this sarcastically or?
Wait, what were they playing?
I can't even remember what theme it was. It wasn't like the Olympics thing, but it was something to that, like, it was very self-congratulatory. Like, I was like, I don't think they're doing this with a wink. I think
this is serious.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I got to get going, everybody. Sorry. You know?
Right. It's so cringe when they do that. You might as well just do like the Star Wars opening and be like, just do everything. Go ahead.
But yeah, no. So anyway, but I want to go to, you know, support the firm that's been supportive of us. But yeah. It was also a movie location for one of Ellen Burstyn shot a scene there, I remember. And, for now, I can't remember the name of the movie. But
I like it.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, I remember because I went down actually to watch them shoot, and then I eventually got shooed away. To say,
oh, they shooed you?
You can't be taking pictures. And I'm like, fine.
Oh, gosh.
I just wanted to be Ellen Burstyn.
Already got him anyway.
Yeah. What are you going to do, Matt?
What are you going to do? Snap. I watched Robin Hood 2010 again. I'm not even going to talk about that.
Wasn't I know you good like then. Your Robin Hood movies.
I tried. I do love Prince of Thieves for all of its flaws, but this one, I don't know. It's a better film, I guess.
Yeah, it's a. Well, I don't know. There's moment I like a lot of Ridley Scott stuff, and then he just kind of repeats himself. You know, like it looks the same. It's almost the same beats because it worked the first time. You know.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
That's kind of what I felt about this one. I'm like. He didn't really bring anything new to the table. Like a little bit he did with the story, but I mean, I don't know. I guess it was okay.
Yeah. Worth a watch sometimes.
Worth a watch. Yeah. Yeah. Worth a watch. I respect him as a filmmaker. I watched Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, which I haven't seen in a hot minute.
Is that the original? Yeah.
I would do watch the original.
I have not seen that in a long time.
It's funny.
Either. It had to still kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it still holds up. It's still funny. It's really Will Ferrell's delivery that makes it.
Yeah.
They got a good supporting cast, but yeah, I always liked Anchorman. I maintain it holds up. Still good. Rewatched The Last King of Scotland.
I don't know if I've watched that one.
It's okay.
Is that the first
It's very typical of 2000, whenever it came out, 2005, 2004, that like... Michael Mann kind of looking camera filters, you know, where it's like high contrast and very like, look, we're doing like artsy stuff with the bleeds and the focus. Like, you know what I mean? They do like a lot of that with like, there's a lot of shots of the sun, like setting real quick with music.
Yes.
You're like, okay. Okay. But
always... who did that
good.
First? I wonder. Yeah.
It's got, Forest Whitaker in there. And I think he won the Oscar for it, which I believe was the only nomination that movie got.
Okay.
And then the guy from Split is in there. I forget the
James McAvoy.
Name. Yeah, he's in there. So it's good. It's based on a historical figure. They took a lot of liberties, but yeah, overall it's a solid movie.
Awesome. I do like Forest Whitaker, so
yeah. He was great in Body Snatchers.
Yeah. I met him at Slam Dance Film Festival. Which, if you heard me talk about Slam, the Slam Dance audience is like literally the size of my living room downstairs, you know?
Oh, really?
It's just like, yeah, you're on seats that are like zip tied together and you can barely see, you know, and people are sitting on the floor and whatever. So, and I'm a big fan of The Shield, and I can't remember which season he was in The Shield. And so, Cause I remember I, of course, you know, I jump up and start talking to him after the movie and I said something about The Shield, and he's like, you kind of look like Chiklis, you know.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was nice. But yeah, it's totally down to earth guy. Yeah. So he was.
I love to hear that. I've always liked him as an actor. I really, really do.
Yeah.
I remember his line in Body Snatchers. He goes, "You can take my life, but you'll never take my soul." And you're like, do you remember that?
Oh, you're saying that. I'm like, I need to rewatch that movie. I have not seen
it
in a long time. Meg Tilly.
There is no one like you left. Meg Tilly, go to bed.
Get in bed. We still say that to the cats.
really?
Billy Worth is in that. I think I told you Meg Tilly on her video cast, that YouTube channel, that she said, I'm not sure if I quite believe it, but yeah, she said that whole line of spiels, like, where are you gonna go? She said that was all her dialogue that she made up. So, but
really,
yeah. And so I'm like, oh, kudos if you did, because it's perfect, you know. And it kind of became the mantra for the movie. So
yeah,
everybody remembers. So,
oh yeah, interesting. Yeah, I haven't watched that in a hot minute.
Yeah. So yeah, I need to watch that. Christina Lee's. Yeah, a good cast.
Yeah.
they kind of made it smaller again, you know, like kind of focused rather than kind of make a big San Francisco version, you know, to, I thought that kind of probably worked, but it wasn't real popular at the time, but I liked it.
No, it wasn't. But yeah, good call on that. I'll have to keep that one in mind. Yeah. I did watch, so the Friday the 13th are now on HBO Max.
Ooh, okay.
So I watched part 4, final chapter.
As you should.
As you should. I got to tell you, I love the opening sequence. I haven't seen that in a while, but where the mask comes right at you and you're like, yes.
Dun, dun. So I know regular listeners have probably heard the story a million times, but yeah, so this was my first Friday the 13th in a theater. Let me backtrack. This is also my first Friday the 13th. I had not seen any of the others. It was just kind of, you know, elementary school, junior high, you know, playground talk of like what happened in these movies. And so when they started doing it, it was like, and it was almost, now granted, I was 14. Obviously, I should have been old enough to be able
so
to.
So lucky.
I could barely handle that. And obviously, you talk about the credits, that I did have my hand over my eyes during the opening credits after that mask came out. And so I would, and so, you know, the credits flash all over the place. And I only saw the credits that were on the bottom part of the screen. and that's all I literally remember those. You know, like, I remember Tina and Terry, you know, Camila Caramore is Tina and Terry, and then it'd be black or whatever. And eventually I'd show up another one and stuff like that. So, but yeah, one, it was perfect opening, fantastic editing.
So I good.
Think, I think that, so Paul from part 2 is the one kind of narrating that. And
yeah,
I think that's what I had him sign too. I'm like, I don't want to scare anyone.
Oh, you have his autograph?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah. And they say that he still haunts these, you know, he still seeks his revenge for anyone that comes in this wilderness. The opening of that, of the montage and Paul, the recap in 2, is like the best opening in any Friday the 13th, I think. It's perfect.
It is, yeah. He can't
be so good. That really is the best Friday the 13th film.
It is, I know. And for a lot of people, it is. And because I kind of think the atmosphere, acting, I mean, they got, I think that's part of it. They got, not A-list actors, but they got a good crew. Obviously, Crispin Glover, you know, like,
yeah.
Of course, the best final girl ever for Trish Jarvis. But
so great.
But yeah. So actually, I was just talking to Brian, our friend, last night about that, visiting the. I just had my 10-year anniversary since I visited the cabin, the Jarvis.
Oh, cool.
House. Yeah. So we were kind of talking about how lucky I was to be able to get in, and she just let me get in twice, you know, come back a couple days later, because from what I could tell, she's shut everybody else out. So
you don't see those locations anywhere. And I was thinking about your site and your shoot on that when I was watching it with the kitchen and everything, and how much it pretty much looks the same when you went there.
Yeah. And I even remember, like, because, you know, when the mask falls at the end on the rug, there's a rug that looks almost exactly like it. I was like, is this the same rug from 1980?
Can't be.
And she goes, I don't think so. I'm like, all right. And like, it, at the time, I was like, God, this looks exactly the same.
Maybe it was. That's tough to keep a rug for 30 years, though.
Yeah,
but.
I doubt it. But I was just like, oh, this seems very similar to me, but
and then you proceeded to cut squares of the rug to sell.
Do you have some scissors? So one in all my, like, even at the Hollywood Inn's houses, you know, that I was just kind of as chaperoned around, you know, like, and here's this or whatever. Yeah. She just, like, literally was in the kitchen doing other stuff, and I was all up and down the stairs and down in the basement and stuff like that. So
you're all over the place, but hey, you have to. You're doing Friday the 13th Part 4, the cabin, like the house. You have to do it.
Yeah, so definitely one of my top 5 location visits, and it was eerie as I drove. I'm just like, I cannot believe I'm here.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's no way. That's so surreal.
But the movie, I mean, obviously, it's Jason at his best. He's running, and the rain and lightning is perfect, and perfect.
The chick with the banana, and it's like shaking. Cinematography. I do love that opening sequence, though. It really is fantastic. Yeah.
They tried to kind of replicate that a little. I can't remember. I think part 7, and it just they didn't have the right music, and it just did not work, and it just was.
Yes. It was empty. The music with the sequencing in 7 is awful.
Yeah.
It like doesn't match.
No, it's and it's like whatever, and they just had the actual sound or whatever. So it's like this these quiet scenes of Jason breaking out. Yeah, so it just does not work.
And I do love in the opening of 4 when they have Crazy Ralph and he's talking and they like throw him in there at just the right moment. And it's just, it's, I forget his line in the sequence. It's not doomed. It's something else.
It's got a death curse.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a death curse.
I've seen that movie so many times. I feel like I could do that whole sequence.
Oh, I would pay money for you to record that so we can make it our opening of the show.
It would be my,
It's got a death curse. That's going to be my go-to if anyone asks for directions, even though if you don't need anymore. Do you know how to get to the Dunkin' Donuts? Yeah, it's up there to the left, but I wouldn't go. Why? It's got a death, curse.
And then they just kind of move on. So
keep going. But that is a great movie. I did watch Halloween 2, original, which, as you know, as I mentioned before, is my favorite Halloween. It's the first one I've seen, and I still love that movie. But a few things I've noticed before, but it didn't really hit me as much, was I love in the beginning after Lori gets, you know, she goes to the hospital.
Yeah.
Here's a woman that was almost killed, witnessed all kinds of craziness. And the doctor only says to her, "When was the last time you had a tetanus shot?" You know, as if she stepped on a nail a week ago and this was the reason she was losing
it. And she's like, "I don't know.
I don't know." Do you remember, though? That
oh, line? Yeah. Oh, I know it all. One, somebody put together the amount
of
lines,
words.
All of her words in Halloween 2, and I'd have to look up the word count, but it is a ridiculous amount of little words. But one of them,
it's like 38 or something.
Yeah, yeah. So she had a tough memory,
tough script. You know, another thing, I feel like EMTs get a really bad rap in horror films. Like between this and Friday the 13th. You know, these are trained professionals that save lives. And this guy's having sex with nurses in a, you know, the bath thing. And he's smoking weed in the lounge. It's like, come on. That's
not gonna happen. It was 1978. That's what happened.
But it's just so funny. He's like, yeah, fuck it. If we get a call, let's go take your clothes off. And then he has the roach clip and he's openly smoking weed in the staff lounge.
With the nurse that's supposed to be watching the babies.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I always felt like there's some story because, you know, like Dr. Loomis blows up the hospital. I'm like, I feel like somebody should superimpose, you know, the shot of the flames going over the whole infant care. Like, way to go, Dr. Loomis. He's, you know, like the next
How thoughtful.
Like, I know. You know, Michael kills 3 while a psychotic doctor kills 15, including 10 babies. That's the real horror of Halloween.
Now, was the nurse, I know Rick Rosenthal met his wife on the set. Was it the nurse that was in the tub?
No. So it was, Nurse Marion, who she was in the original Halloween, and then she's the one that she's like, that literally, I'm going to say ruined the franchise. That girl, that Strode girl, that's Michael Myers' sister.
Right.
So,
okay. Yeah.
So she's the one. And so now that she, I should say, as much as I love her, I'm like, did she ruin the franchises twice? Because, you know, that's her, you know, she created this whole, she didn't, but, you know, she said it, you know, she revealed.
Yeah, she put it
then
in
it became
play.
This whole family thing. And then, as you remember in Halloween Kills, she's the one, but evil dies tonight. And we're like, oh.
Right. She ruined it twice.
Yeah, she ruined the Halloween franchise twice.
She was the chick that told him, the sister, she was from like the state or whatever, from the hospital. The governor's orders. And I love when he's like, Loomis is like, what's the first thing they do? Fire a warning shot? And he's like, let's go. But the marshal's so nonchalant before he's like, yeah, it's right back there. It's
You're getting yourself in 17. Big trouble here.
You're getting yourself into big trouble, doctor. He doesn't give a shit. He's out. He's unconscious. Or what does he say? He's still alive or something. He's
Don't
not breathing.
Doing? Yeah. Oh, there. Get away from him.
When get away from him. I do love Halloween too. Question for you. It's okay. So we know Dana Carvey's in there as the assistant. I wanted to point out before my question, the sheriff uniform, accuracy of it. Warren County, on the sheriff, it says Warren County Sheriff, was, as you know, sheriffs have jurisdiction over a county and they're within, where other movies will put like Millersville Town Sheriff Department, and that's incorrect.
That's right, yeah.
But Halloween doesn't have, you know, Haddonfield Sheriff or anything. It's the County Sheriff Department, yeah, which is very accurate. So they did did their homework.
They did. And then obviously they talk about Russellville, and, you know, I mean, they kind of created this little town, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah. No, they created a whole ecosystem.
Now,
Halloween ends, the opening sequence where they recreate. That was, they played into that in two when they're like, send more people and canvass the area between Green Street and whatever in Halloween two. Was that the canvassing they were doing?
I'm not quite sure. So I do know, like, when Alice is on the phone, is that what you're talking about? They're like, oh, where the cops are talking. It's like,
yeah,
yeah. They're actually, and if I remember right, some of the streets they're talking about are real, because I know that, you know, there's, you know, the house down on Orange Grove, which actually it is. It's Orange Grove, West Hollywood.
Is that really what they were doing? Oh,
that's what,
okay.
Alice on the phone should have said, are you talking about West Hollywood? We're in Haddonfield.
That's
the other side of the country.
That's so funny, though, that they did that.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, I do like that they play in other films. And speaking of which, my question is, after they reported that Michael Myers went into the school, you know, and he leaves the knife on the drawing and everything, the word Sanheim is on the blackboard, if you remember.
So, yeah. So Samhain, which is actually pronounced
Samhain.
Yeah. So Samhain, and that's how they pronounce it in the movie. I think it's pronounced Samhain. In reality, but
that's sure, because Celtic doesn't phonetically match up.
No,
was that I know Halloween's a Celtic origin, but did that play into Halloween Part 3 in any way? Was there like a reason they went that direction?
Yeah, actually, they talk about the Festival of Samhain. Connell Cochran does talk about that as well. So,
okay, so there is a connection there.
Just show up a little bit and kind of the curse of Michael Myers and so forth. And yeah, I always wonder, I was like, when did Michael go back to the school? He drove by, you know, Tommy Doyle. And then at some point, you know, he's catching up with Laurie or whatever. So he's just like, I got to get back to that classroom.
Yeah, I thought the school was out of place. It was an unnecessary scene.
Samhain. So this is where, and I know a lot of people don't appreciate Halloween 6, but in my mind, I like the thoughts where somebody from Smith's Grove came in and created that to kind of create some more issues. So
yeah.
Really Michael Myers, you know, somebody else came in and did that and somehow found a big knife and put it in a sister coloring. Yeah, it was like, I just imagine, like, Michael was like searching. He's like, does nobody have a family with a sister? You know, what is he searching through the kid's homework? You know,
right? Yeah, that yeah. If you really think about the details behind that, it's very out of place. Yeah. But you know, it's interesting. So Samhain and I forget what I was gonna say. It must have been really fantastic, though, Robert.
It was. So.
Oh, my favorite part in the movie, I might have said this before, but when he, you know, the kid's walking and he jumps into him and they're like, June! And then the music starts and he keeps walking and he's walking through the townsfolk and the police car passes and they see the hospital.
Yeah.
And then he keeps walking. I've always loved that scene, but I've never noticed before the people walking behind him, there's one of the extras is, you know, walking in a group of three.
The Hopper.
Jumping up very awkwardly.
Fans recreate that hop. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's obviously Sierra Madre. So we're talking about the boombox boy scene, which I sat on Boombox's lap on the way to the Rialto to see Halloween on the big screen 20 years ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we've talked about that. That's so cool.
I didn't realize it until I got out of the car. But yeah, so fans do recreate that.
The Hopper.
The Hopper as they kind of go by. So.
Oh, it's so great.
And a week from now, I will be in Sierra Madre.
Yes.
Doing some tours.
St. Mary. That's so cool.
Or looking out, Mother Mountain. Looking out for bears.
Looking out for bears.
I'm kind of worried because on the Friday we're doing day tours, which should be fine, and then Sunday night they're doing another Tom Atkins, Have a Drink with Tom Atkins at the Buccaneer Bar. I do some night tours. I'm like, I don't know if that's such a good idea anymore if bears are running around.
Nah, you'll be fine.
Possibly in the dark.
Yeah, you're all right.
But for the Dana Carvey scene, so you may notice that there's also that blonde reporter that seems to be prominent in a couple scenes, and you're not quite sure, and then you never see her again. But she was also supposed to be killed. And her death was either, nobody quite knows if it was actually filmed. Some people think it was, some people wasn't, but she was supposed to be killed by Michael Myers.
She did have prominent placement.
Yeah. And when Sheriff Hunt and Dr. Loomis are talking, she's doing that in the background. Like, she's just kind of there. And one, it looks like a bad extra staring at the camera. But yeah.
Well, I got to remember to look for that.
Yeah.
So when Sheriff Hunt and Loomis are talking.
Yeah. So her first scene, like, she's talking to Dana Carvey, and she goes, if you can't get a release, get a quote anyway.
Yeah.
And then Dana Carvey's like, uh-huh. And then. And she goes up to the sheriff. He's like, not now. And then she kind of disappears, and he sees his dead daughter. Then they're like, and then Hunt or whatever talking, and she's kind of in the background, and they're like, can you get them back? And she's just kind of pretending not to pay attention. So she was more or less supposed to start driving to the hospital. And then she has a flat tire or something. And then somebody's trying to help her, and she doesn't trust him, and so she kind of shoos him away or something like that. And then Michael Myers is there and kills her. Like, could have been a decent scene. Like,
yeah, Robert knows best.
Yeah. So somewhere, I don't know if it was actually filmed or not. There's never been any shots.
No leaked footage.
So, but it'd be nice. See what that would be.
Yeah. No, that would be really cool. I'm not even gonna touch the hospital. About how it's like dark and there's nobody in a hospital. I'm just going to let that go. I chalk it up to being the 80s, you know, or the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's fine.
Who cares?
Final thing I wanted to bring up, which is really cool, is I was Googling something about Halloween 2. I forget what it was. And I clicked on the images. I was looking for something. And this image I posted here of Robert's page showed up on Google Images like in the first 7 squares. And I was like, I know this guy. But it was really cool. And it wasn't Halloween 2 like filming locations or anything. It was like Halloween 2 something.
Yeah.
And your page, the SEO and everything popped in. So
just popped up. So
great job.
So it's a picture of the Doyle house. So as fans know, in the movie, he goes out the back, and in the they kind of retconned it in Halloween 2 that he falls out the front. And it's quite obvious he's going up a ramp and then falls off. And he's shot 7 times instead of 6.
Right.
But so sadly, fans have been posting pictures. The entire back of the Doyle house has now been taken off, and everything's gone.
Really?
The closet seat. Yeah. So any chance of ever seeing those original inside locations are gone forever. So.
Oh. Sad, that's terrible. Sad. That is sad. But so that's what I've been watching. I love Halloween 2. Anything between, you know, the CCTV shots that they have and the characters. You like Halloween 2, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I think I saw Halloween and I was still too scared of movies. But then I remember one night. I was like, well, maybe I'll watch or whatever. And I remember Mr. Sandman started playing. It said Haddonfield 1978. And you saw the trees, and it started panning down on this exact shot that we're looking at. And you could hear Lori's like, I want you to go to the Becker. Yeah. And I was like, nope. And I like turned it off. I like ran. That's all I saw of Halloween 2.
That was it. You're like, can't do it. Nope.
I couldn't do it. It's too much for me.
Yeah. No, of course. It takes a lot. So, kid, come on. It is a classic, but I'm so glad that you love that and you covered it. So that's what you've been watching. Hope you kids go home and watch Arthur 2 on the rocks.
If you want another scary movie.
Okay. So we're going to do another scary movie. We did this last year and we're bringing it back. 'Cause if it ain't broke, don't fix it. These are 2023, Halloween picks, and these are classics. So there might be some overlap from before, but I feel like it's always good to revisit and go through. So I was thinking we could do like you tell one, I'll tell one. And,
okay. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Whatever you think.
And I didn't even look at last year's list, so I'm sure there's repeats. So
it was all Arthur 2 on the rocks.
Yeah. So I was like, I decided to take Arthur 2 and like, let me be a little nicer to that movie. So and some of these are just my go-to classics. So because I think that's how you kind of That's what you called it. So obviously,
yeah.
Poltergeist immediately came to mind. And you asked to pick out a favorite scene. And this was a little tricky because I kind of picked the finale in general because I just like how it keeps ramping up and whatever.
Sure.
But a particular scene, and this is more of a moment, one of my favorite shots continues to be where Diane has just gotten out of the pool and she runs back upstairs to get the kids. And they do this great reverse rack focus of her going down, looking at the hallway, and the hallway just gets longer and longer and longer through the rack focus. So,
oh yeah,
one of my favorite shots, one of my favorite scenes, and also when I go to some hotels, I just picture. That's exactly what I picture.
Oh yeah, it stays in your mind.
Yeah, of kind of how they did that. So I haven't really seen too many behind the scenes of how they shot that. Obviously, they built a huge extended hallway and did some rack focus, but
yeah.
It is just one of my favorites.
That is a great shot for sure. And I was lucky enough. Robert took me. We were blessed to go to that location this past year, which was awesome.
The Poltergeist House. Yes.
The Poltergeist House.
Always worth a visit.
Yeah. No, it's very cool. That is definitely a classic. I have Children of the Corn, which I always kick off my Halloween viewing with. Not this year, though. I broke it with Halloween 2 and Jason.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well, there you go.
But I guess in October, October, it'll be Children of the Corn. So this movie's okay. We both agree. Some might argue with it being a classic, but I think it's a classic. It's a Stephen King 84 original work based on his original work. It's, you know, it's scary. My favorite scene, that's not a funny one because there's so many great one-liners in there that aren't supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
But at the abandoned city hall, when they go in there and they see it's empty and they're looking around, the phones are dead. It's just an eerie, the stand kind of vibe. Like, what's going on here? So probably that or the diner scene in the opening. But yeah.
Peter Horton kicking around. What happened here? Is it supposed to be a year later? I can't remember.
I think it is based on some of the stuff.
Which, and then sometimes. Sometimes there's like just actual skeletons. I'm like, well, I don't know if they would decompose that fast, but
yeah, definitely some inconsistencies with the aging and the decomposition.
Yeah. Non-aging kids, and town quickly fell apart
immediately.
Yes.
How about yourself?
So I always go back when I think of classic Carrie, 1976 original. Oh, so,
yeah.
So that was what freaked me out as a kid, and I still
It is the classic.
Yeah, everything about it. And it's just obviously more of an emotional movie and kind of, for favorite scene, I think, because it sticks out and you just don't see this anymore, but as soon as the split screen starts, and sometimes I forget about the split screen. And when I go back to the 40th anniversary of the screening, seeing that on the big screen and the screen splitting in half and these things have, I just like, it's
a
new experience for me. Yeah. So, and that's just kind of, I just like that the way they did that. So
Brian De Palma, you know, did a great job. I do like the split screen when they do that. That is a great movie. Carrie really is. I have House on Haunted Hill.
The new one?
The original.
Or the original. Okay. Okay.
So, I do like the remake. The remake. Yeah. With Chris Kattan in his finest role next to Night at the Roxbury. So the original is Vincent Price. There's so many great scenes. And for a 1959 film, I feel like it especially did a really good job. I guess my favorite scene is Nora when she's chased into the basement by Annabelle's ghost. It's not only scary being chased by a ghost in these crazy old houses, but when she has to like go into the basement. As you know, there's really no way out unless there's like a storm door or something.
Yeah.
But in that house, it was a good thrill. So
it's a good dread moment. And there's some others now that you say that is obviously I immediately also thought of a Blair Witch Project where you're going into a dead end, literally, you know, like there's this is it, you know, so. But yeah, so and when I kind of go through my list, I was picking more dread moments.
You nailed it if that's where you were going for sure.
So, but 100% agree. I haven't watched that in a while. I feel like I should pop that on. So I'll pop that on this Halloween season for you.
Oh, good call. Yeah, we'll watch it together. Yeah. We'll do a We'll queue it up at the same time right before we watch Halloween Kills.
Well, you're going to double feature with Arthur 2.
Yes, Arthur 2.
We cover all of the bases.
All the classics. What was your next one, Sarah?
Yes, so speaking of Dread, The Descent.
Ooh,
So I saw this in the theater, and it was one of those, I felt myself not hugging myself and down in my seat. I quickly realized I might have some claustrophobia, those closed spaces. When they had to go, the scene in particular, there's two in particular I called out for our podcast, but when they have to kind of go under the water to, you know, get to the next whatever, and they can, and then right after they have to barely wiggle through that. That's my nightmare of being stuck.
Me too. Worst thing that could happen to me.
Yeah. Being stuck somewhere and that's it, whatever. So, less dread is that kind of that first reveal where they find the monster, I'll say, for lack of a better word and so forth, was freaked me out. Just the whole movie, and especially the way the original ending where she is stuck down there forever, you know, and it's just
it's such a thrill. Yeah. Those are some very dreadful moments.
Reveal
for sure, but when they're in the caves and those tight spaces, and it's like, what if you miscalculate?
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Yeah, so I don't revisit that often because it freaks me out, to be honest. So
yeah, no, it is. Good call on that.
Yeah, I got to meet Neil Marshall and his wife. They did a couple of horror conventions soon after this came out. So, but he didn't do as well. I mean, he did a couple of things, but he has not quite. He never hit it.
No.
As well as he did with The Descent.
But. Like he did Hellboy, but that didn't do anything.
No. Yeah. So.
Good call on meeting him. That's cool though.
What do you have next?
Next, I have The Fog, the original, of course.
Oh, not the remake.
Not the remake. Hey, what was Carpenter's involvement in the remake? Did he produce it with Deborah Hill?
Oh, I think he just got a check. I think Deborah Hill might have had a little involvement in the beginning, but then I think it was just
she passed
away. At this point, if Carpenter, was like, if you want to pay me, that's fine. I don't care what trash you make.
Yeah, he didn't have any hands on.
Yeah. And on one point, he's right. He's like, people won't care. You know, if you make it super crappy, it'll just make mine look better. And if it's great, fantastic. More money for him, you know. So
yeah, good call.
Yeah,
I like it. That's a good way to look at it as well.
Yeah. So what scene did you pick out?
So this was kind of on par with yours there with the poltergeist. I didn't really know what to do, but I do like the church scene / ending, just the spoiler alert, the reveal when they're inside the church and you already have that kind of claustrophobic feel of fog creeping in on you, but then you realize like the dead pirates or whatever they are, they're in there, fishermen, and they're the eyes and everything, that's always a good scare. It was a toss between that or the opening when the fog is creeping in showing. I don't know, it's cool. I like that movie a lot. I think Jamie Lee Curtis does a great job in there, and I love your page on that too. So
I haven't been to too many, and obviously that church is two blocks from the Halloween hopping scene, Halloween 2 hopping scene.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, they literally, if you go up, as if you follow those kids,
go to Sierra Madre.
If you go those kids for two more blocks, you will see the Fog Church. So, which I still love. You know, fans know where this is, but movie magic. You know, they're in Northern California as they drive up. You know, to the church, and they frame it in such a way. This church still looks like it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's just literally off Main Street in Sierra
Madre. It's amazing. Movie magic.
Movie magic.
Well, you and the music too is good enough. Are you a Fog fan?
I am not a huge, like, there's some people that are really into it, so at the time I was like it's no Halloween, but it's grown on me. And but Mrs. Culbritz.
Mrs. Culbritz.
I love Adrienne Barbeau.
Yeah.
Yes,
indeed, Henry. Like, yes, indeed.
It's like, who is listening to this music? You're listening to KAB. Is it KAB? I think, yeah. As I literally put everybody to sleep. But it was like, like, it's like, who is listening to this music?
I can't visit or see a lighthouse though without thinking of the fog now.
Yeah.
I just can't.
But my gosh, she had some great calves going up and down those stairs.
going up and down the stairs.
I'm just like not complaining one iota that's her work, getting to work.
Yeah. I feel like Omaha needs a restaurant called the Lighthouse. So it's kind of kitsch. You know, there's no reason to have a lighthouse there, but there is, and it's a big tower. And you live in that tower collecting money.
And then, you can have an Adrian Barbeau doing
Adrian
constant.
I loved her in Creepshow. I mean, amongst everything.
You can call her Billy.
She's so bad. I mean, she's great, but you hated the character.
So she'll be at the Halloween convention next weekend as well. So
nice.
She had a bit part. It might have been deleted. I can't remember if it was or not. But in Halloween, Rob Zombie's Halloween. But
okay. Anyway. How about yourself? What was your next one?
Halloween itself.
Never heard of it. What is it?
Yeah, you may be familiar. It's a little known film directed by a guy named John Carpenter.
I'll have to look out for that.
So obviously I've seen it too many times, but I remember when I was the first time I saw it as an 11-year-old, when Lori's banging on the house and they're like, "Can't you hear me?" And she's, "Oh God!" And she starts running across the street and banging on the back of the house. And then you see his shadow kind of come around the house, and they keep cutting back, that she's like, "Let me," trying to get Tommy, and cutting back and forth, and he's like getting so close, and I remember feeling so freaked out that he's gonna get her. So
it does get you. Such a classic. Is Halloween the number one horror movie of all time?
I don't know. I'm sure
people say Clown House, but
I almost put Clown House on here, but I thought I'll give it while we're talking about it, I'll give honorable mention to Clown House because it did freak me out.
I know. Right. That's what sticks with me is that it scared you.
My friend Ellie, she's probably not listening because the scene that freaked me out was like they have this kind of slow whatever. Usually in the movies where they can like hear something, do the slow thing, and nothing's there. Here, this kid does a slow whatever, and the clown is actually right there. And I was like, "What the fuck?" They kind of look at each other, and all of a sudden the clown just starts running at him, and I was just like,
"Oh yeah!"
In the theater, and then there's a couple scenes like that where the clowns are just in the background with shadows, and they're too close, and it like freaked me out. There's some scene in the barn where I think it was one of those fake jump scares where a rooster jumps out, or something like that. It was kind of this version of a cat jumping out of nowhere, or a cat getting thrown by the cat. The grips,
But
in the theater, I just like jumped out of my seat. And I remember my friends it's a
jump scare.
It's like, it's a fucking rooster. Calm down.
But it's scary.
Why are you so scared? And I swear to God, there was like junior high girls in front of us making fun of me because I was so scared to read this movie.
Hey, it jumps at you. It's scary. I watched Clown House on your recommendation, or at least a good portion of it on YouTube. And those scenes you're talking about do break the traditional rules. They just start running at you, and it's like what, to a degree, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, does. It just comes running out with a chainsaw. It just gets you, and like it is, he's a clown. Like, it's scary. I put Halloween as well,
Rob Zombie's Halloween.
The only one worth mentioning, of course. She's great. She's got a great dumper. Remember that? I'm like, he was such trash. William Forsythe's character,
yes,
who I love, but he did play such a great white trash guy. But Halloween, when Laurie sees Michael across the street, under the patio under the light, and then she looks back and he's gone. First time I saw the movie, it got me. I always loved that. I remember the first time I saw the movie. I was in junior high. I might have been eighth grade, and I watched it with a bunch of people from school. Some people I didn't know. And I remember questioning, how can he drive if...
He was doing very well last night.
Right. And I was like, how could he... Yeah, they addressed that. How could he drive? He doesn't have a license. And some kid was like, what happened was they filmed it and the director said cut, and it's just a movie. So you shouldn't really think too much into it. I was like, great. I'll see you working at the Denny's in 10 years, asshole.
Aren't you funny?
There was a bunch of band kids, so I didn't expect much. I was in a rock band, so they were probably jealous of my fire.
Yeah.
But
and now those band kids were the bad kids in Halloween Ends. See,
right, this is true.
It all comes full circle.
But I will say, yeah, that scene where the shape is across, and it always got me, and that really is a great shot.
Because I think all of these that were kind of like could happen, versus maybe not Poltergeist, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, for sure. So it sticks with you. I haven't watched Halloween yet this year. I'm actually going to save this, I think, for like Halloween.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll see. I'm sure it'll show up at some point. So the next one I pick is The Strangers. Which same thing. It's obviously a small movie. Like these kind of other things, like probably the original concept of Michael Myers, like nobody knows why they're doing this or what their line in here is, you know, because you were home. That's enough. And that's where it could become a reality where somebody could be creeping around your house, whatever. And then obviously my favorite scene is the one that actually ended up being in the poster, you know, where it's a quiet scene and Liv is kind of looking around and the tall stranger just appears in the background and you're like, good. You know, like there's.
Oh, that gets you. Yeah. And when you're watching the movie and you're thinking like this could really happen, you could be out in the middle of nowhere. And makes me want to get a gun and vote Republican.
No,
just kidding. But it is creepy. That shot it is scary. Yeah.
But and they kind of build up because like you can only do that so many times. So I think they did a good job with that one. So
Sure.
And I won't repeat my story of that. Why I would make a final girl after we watched that movie, but we'll move on. So,
Do you want to tell?
I think I've told you about that. Yeah. The first time we saw The Strangers, I used to have Monday night movie nights. And so, you know, friends come over and we watch the movie. And so, after the movie, you know, it's a good movie. Everybody's like, bye, whatever. And then, my sister kind of tooling around. Just a few minutes later, we hear this thing on the, our back door, like somebody scraping or something like that. And we're like, and so I get on my phone because I thought it was Trent, you know. I'm like, and I walked out the front because I was gonna walk around the house, you know. I was like, Trent, I know what you're doing, and I could hear he's like, what? And I could hear he's somewhere else, completely else. I hear other noise or whatever. He's like, I'm long gone. And I was like, oh, and I like,
wow,
ran back in the house, you know. So I would apparently not make a final girl because I'm one of those checking
you
out.
Have said that told me that I forgot
always
though, but
in the middle of the night, you know. So I like to think of myself as a Laurie Strode, but apparently
you could pull it off.
Apparently I'm the Linda, I don't know.
Apparently you're who's the chick in Friday the 13th Part 3, the hippie chili?
Yeah, like,
no. What was it though? Do you think?
I don't know. And then we're like, I ran back in because I remember I locked the door. And my sister's like, it's not Trent. And we're like looking or whatever. He didn't figure out what it was, but it could have been just leaves or something like that. But I was just like freaking out. But anyway,
that is creepy.
That's the stranger story. And
Robert
does not learn his lessons from movies.
Well, I have the Amityville Horror. I think we can all agree it's a classic.
Which one? The Ryan Reynolds?
Sorry. The one with Burt Young. It's the second one. Possessed. Whatever. Amityville Horror is I think is a great classic Halloween horror movie. I mean, my favorite scene is not a scene of terror. It's a comedic scene that I quote too much. And with my friend Mike, and we constantly spoof this movie any year round. It's just so great. James Brolin, there's a character where there's a scene where the wedding caterer character, he loses the money, as you know, in the house. And he's just like, I want cash. Cash doesn't bounce. Checks bounce. Checks aren't cash. James Brolin goes, no, I'm going to write you a check. And that's going to be good. Or you're going to be eating your own damn wedding cake. And he's so disgruntled and disheveled. And this guy's just like, okay. But, yeah.
I think that's why Streisand, she probably saw that and she goes, that's the man.
That's
for
it.
Me.
That's the breaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the breaking straw.
So it is one of those, like, it's kind of, now we look back at it and it's like, oh, kind of kitschy movie or whatever, but great soundtrack. Sounds a little bit like Children of the Corn. Maybe it's the same person on the show. It clips along. And my favorite scary, it's not on my list, but my favorite moment in that that always jars me and freaks me out because it takes me off guard. So the realtor is showing the house and she goes, oh, it could be a nursery, you know, like in, which I met her at the Hollywood show. And she passed away like a couple months after, I think it was like not too, she's Saved by the Bell at from Back to the Future gal. Saved the Clock Tower. Same person, but anyway, so she's going through the house and all of a sudden it freeze frames for like a second and you're like, is something wrong with the film or DVD? And then it does that flashback to the original murders and stuff of the DeFeos and so forth, but that always literally takes me out because the way they kind of edit it. So
yeah, good call on that. I know exactly what you're saying.
Or the wedding caterer scene.
Of course, you have to. Yeah,
that's all people talk about. It was on the Oscars.
I need more to chop more wood. How about you? What's your next one, sir?
I put the Texas Chainsaw 2003 remake.
I
love the way it looks. Oh, I love her.
Oh, she's the best. Oh, yes. My.
I love the way it looks. It's just it's like a sweaty, smelly, grimy movie, but it's also
you can smell it.
Beautifully shot. Daniel Pearl was cinematographer from the original one that they brought back, and obviously it takes place the same time period, but totally different look and feel. It's just kind of this great palette, which I like. So, the scene I called. There's a lot of scenes I kind of like the way it looks or whatever. Like, get out of my house, you know. And it's just like,
the
tension starts kind of ramping up, and you know it's about to happen. And so I just kind of like the tension from that, where he's like banging on the floor. So,
oh yeah, that's a great scene.
But yeah, so I love that movie. I thought that was the way to do a remake. I thought they did it pretty well. It also has one of the best teaser trailers, where it's almost completely dark and it's just a girl you hear running around screaming and whatever in chainsaw. And that was enough to, that's where it's like, oh, this is what, you don't need to see everything, you know, like, you know. Now, granted, this movie, you saw so much more blood than you actually saw in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
I like Jessica Biel in the movie. I enjoy 2003 so much.
Yeah.
It is sweaty and grimy, and yeah, it's good.
What do you have next?
I have The Shining, which we've talked about before.
Yeah, the TV version or the TV movie?
The TV version, of course. Who was in the TV version again?
From Wings.
Yeah.
I just forgot his name. Steven.
He didn't have a fair shot, though.
Not quite. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it could.
I knew what they were trying. They're trying to get back to the, you know,
the book
and so forth.
And they succeeded with the plants and things like that to a degree, the shrubbery and whatnot. Yeah. But you can't. Yeah, it was an unfair shake.
Yeah, Steven Weber.
Steven Weber.
He did the best he could. Yep. So
did the best he could.
Yeah.
My favorite scene is, just like Amityville Horror, another scene that's hilarious to me is, and when my wife, when they tried to do my duty, I had to correct them, sir. Because it's not quite an English accent. You don't really know what it is. It's like, it's just, I love that character. Grady? Is it? No, it's not Grady. It's, forget his name. Maybe it is Grady. Yeah, Grady. Yeah.
They call him a couple different names, if I remember.
Right.
But yeah, but, and obviously that red bathroom and.
Oh, the red bathroom, just the sets in that movie alone are beautiful. They're breathtaking. And, the silence, you know, the music and the noise from the ballroom and the awkwardness and the right amount of pauses. I love that whole sequence from the gold room into the bathroom. Let me get that for you, sir. Like, very detailed, but I just love saying that. I love that movie.
I know you say it at least once a day in real life. So I know you do.
But it is a classic. So.
It is. And I don't know. I'm sure somebody has kind of made their men's bathroom all red like that. I know Hannibal, the series they kind of recreated that set one of their scenes as well. So, so it's just,
I love the hotel bathrooms, the green, like 80s. Like that whole scene. I just, yeah, I love the decor. The penis is on the rug, like everything. I wish I could live there. By the way, you've been to that film festival, haven't you?
I went to the exterior where they shot the exteriors, or actually just establishing shots.
The Overlook in Oregon, right?
Yeah. So the interiors, a lot of the interiors were based more on, it's out at Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Where it looks almost exactly the same.
I've seen the great interiors, the Native American place.
Yeah. Yeah, which would be kind of nice to go. Obviously, it was all set. So if you have, if you've not taken a look, I think it's on DVD and I think it's on the Blu-rays, but it's, I think it's on YouTube. So Stanley Kubrick's daughter did her own behind the scenes movie at the time. She was young. She might have still been a teenager. And if you haven't seen it, it is worth a watch because it's, we look at it as a classic. And here you have your first kind of behind the scenes glimpses, you know, of Jack Nicholson's dressing room and he's brushing his teeth or whatever and just running, you know, getting just not kind of like we would get ready for our next meeting, like, all right, what do I, you know, nothing to whatever, and he's just walking down to the set because this is work, you know. And then the camera's just going through the what's weird for me is like randomly people are standing around, there's boxes around these super iconic sets, you know, of The Shining, that if you worked in it, and I don't know, it'd just be weird for me to be like, you are on a super iconic horror movie, whatever, and you don't realize that you're just taking all this for granted, that you're kind of walking around The Shining set, and then
you're not thinking about it, but it's like, wow, moment in time, if you can freeze that, look where you are.
And then later she's like, they're trying to figure out, like, oh, here's the back entrance to the maze, and so they're kind of walking through, and it was just like, I can't imagine what it'd be like just to
Oh, could you imagine?
Yeah. No, that's why I just like.
Yeah.
1 year, Universal Halloween Horror Nights did Shining, and they did a good job of recreating some of those sets.
Oh, that's cool. I wish I saw that. That would be cool.
Yeah. I wish they'd go back to the more iconic ones and.
Yeah.
Rather than doing their made up characters and stuff like that.
But, right. Right. Yeah. No, for sure. I will check that out though. Stanley Kubrick's daughters.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll skip the next one, but this is a double movie. When a Stranger Calls.
You didn't want to do Nightmare on Elm Street. You're wearing the costume.
Well, I'll talk about that now, because if we're going to go talk about the Elm Street series, but
good,
I'll end on that. How about that? So When a Stranger Calls and When a Stranger Calls Back, both opening scenes are some of my favorite scenes in movies. So the original When a Stranger Calls, of course, you know, have you check the children and looking up, and there actually is some, you do see a light, the door open or whatever, there actually is somebody in the house, and there's just like
so creepy,
chilling. And obviously it was kind of urban legends come to life, you know.
I was just gonna say, like, urban, yeah it nails it.
Yeah, so great scene. And then I was, when they did When a Stranger Calls Back in 93 or 4, yeah, I was like, well, how are they gonna beat that? And
that's the one with Madonna, right?
What? Who's in the? Oh, Jill Schoen. But so I was like, well, what are they gonna? You know, like, I remember at the time I was in an apartment. I'm like, oh, this will be fine. And of course, later in the movie, the girl's in an apartment. And I was like, no, you know. But same thing. I was just like, how are they gonna replicate that? And same thing. People are calling. The windows are open, and you're like, is there somebody in the house? And one of my favorite moments for that is she's going around checking things again, and she goes to double check the back sliding door, and this time it opens.
Oh.
And you're like, and you know, we all remember, like, a few minutes ago, it was not. And so she closes it and locks it again, but already you're like, oh my God, what, is he here? You know, what, you know, yeah, so.
Yeah, I'll get you.
And I think because we've had moments too, like, you know, like the other day, it was like, I thought I shut the garage, and then an hour later you open it, it's like, oh, it's open, you know, like, what, has this been the whole time? Who?
Yeah, what happened? Now your mind's playing games.
Yeah, yeah. So both those obviously are chilling. So most of these are dread, but I did put Nightmare on Elm Street, obviously, because it's one of my favorites. And then I was kind of big in after that movie came out, been in kind of dream analysis and trying to control your dreams or whatever. But one of my favorite moments from that is, of course, the gooey stairs, because that was kind of a typical kid nightmare thing where you can't get going and the stairs are now marshmallow and, you know, or oatmeal, you know, and you're trying to get through them, whatever. So I like that.
It's kind so of, scary.
It, part of me is like, I don't know if people have ever like talked about that, but then they kind of threw that in the film, something that is probably people had those similar dreams. So I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Things like that. Yeah. And will a shark be under my bed? Like stuff that you would never think is plausible. They threw it in there, which is
shark
why
in the pool. I remember.
Yeah.
There's a meme out there too, is like that they kind of superimposed, like somebody went diving into the pool and there's a big great white with his mouth just open that they swim into. It's like, it's true. Every kid's worst nightmare. You know?
My favorite meme of Nightmare on Elm Street is the Freddy smoking a cigarette and they go, I've been chasing dreams so long, people in their dreams so long, I forgot to chase my own. He's smoking. And I sent that to you once, and you were like, sadly, I've seen some conventions where people were doing that. Like,
that is
not
absolutely
Robert Englund, but yeah.
Not Robert, yeah, but yeah, you do see weird, like, out of character moments, for sure, so.
Right. But, so, that is Halloween films we recommend, Halloween picks.
The classics.
Classics.
And the classic scenes. I have all the dread scenes, and Matthew has
all the stupid ones.
The caterer scene, and I'm just kidding. Right. I'm kidding.
For Children of the Corn, I should have just put the ending where they just ran out of money, and they're like, that's it.
They cut off Peter Horn mid-sentence, and like, credits. You're like,
credit.
Have you seen Young Doctors in Love? Because they kind of do the credits like da-da-da-da, and there's like, wait a minute, and then the credits go back.
Oh, really? No, but you covered that and told me about that movie.
So that's what they should have done with Children of the Corn.
Yeah, wait a minute.
The movie's not quite over.
It's not quite over. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're going to write you a check, or you're going to be eating your own wedding cake. it's an interesting time of year to do that. So next we have, so how does this work, Robert? Are we going to watch the trailer? This is for Nightmare on Elm Street. Trailer lookbacks.
Yeah, so this YouTube, I don't know if we want to do that, the show, but it was like they put together all the trailers for every Nightmare on Elm Street. So sometimes the trailers are interesting because it makes the movie look a little bit different, or you can see like why we kind of bought into it. So
that
could be listeners would either watch or listen with us or however it works, and then we could stop it in between and kind of quickly talk about what that trailer was like.
Okay, great. So after each trailer, I'll just do a little pause and we'll do a reflection.
Yeah, and you might have to edit out ads in case that shows up during the YouTube.
Already took them out. I've destroyed them.
Oof, nice.
All right, so I'll just share this. And I will say, listening back on old shows when we go through trailers, it's pretty interesting even without the audio.
Or the video.
Or the video, I mean. Yeah. Now, without the audio, it would be disastrous.
Yeah, it would just be blank, like... This movie's not good at all.
This movie's not good at all. All right, so we will watch the trailer for the original.
The kids of Elm Street don't know it yet, but something is coming to get them.
There's something out there, isn't there?
We just see cuts happen.
What did that, Lieutenant?
I don't know.
Peter!
The coroner got to say.
In the jar and puking since he saw it.
You're gonna kill me for sure.
Did you do it?
There was somebody else there.
He was locked in a room with a girl who went in alive and came out in a rubber bag.
No one knows where it came from or who it will visit next.
Nancy, there's something wrong with you. You're imagining things.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Do you believe in the boogeyman?
No.
Whatever you do, don't...
Oh,
nice.
No!
She's the only one who can stop it. If she fails,
I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
No one will survive.
Help me!
From Wes Craven, director of The Hills Have Eyes and Last House on the Left, a new masterpiece in fantasy terror, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes, I would watch it, and I do love the old movie trailer guy that they used to use in the 70s and 80s. The one they have in the grindhouse and everything.
Yes.
But yeah, I still think the special effects in that movie were so great for its time, and I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, one, I kind of forget, like, they literally go through the entire movie, like, and here's how it ends. Now, yeah, at the time, you weren't living and breathing trailers, or, you know, you got to see them once, maybe in the theater, and that was, you know, it, if you could remember, you know, what happened or so forth. So now it's kind of strange. Halloween, the original Halloween, had the same thing where everything's happening, and it's like, she's banging, they're like, Tommy, let me in. I was like, well, there's the whole movie, you know? Like,
I wonder, and sometimes what's gonna happen. They did that in later years, and it didn't work, like Castaway. Yeah. You're like, oh, I guess he gets off the island.
Yeah, congratulations. So, one, it still makes you want to see it. That's true to the movie. And I was harkening back to, obviously, I was at an age where I heard about this movie because it was open to kind of a limited release. And everybody was excited to see it because it was kind of a brand new take on horror. And for a while, it was the only one. But I do find it interesting. They don't even, obviously, later, I'm sure we'll see. The name Freddy Krueger isn't even mentioned, you know.
No, I didn't pick up on that. You're right. Yeah.
It's just
it's about a nightmare.
Yeah. So, so it's, I think it's still, good trailer. And it's interesting, you know, from Wes Craven, the director of, like, now he'll be ever for tide. You know, you can't hear his name without hearing Elm Street and Scream. But before all this, Last House on Left. And
which is such a disturbing movie.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street like Friday the 13th, where they wanted to make it an anthology and then Freddy just got popular and they made it about him? Like, it was different.
Well, a little bit. So Robert Shea, and he put a lot of money into it. So he kind of had a lot of say at the time. And this was, New Line had only been a distributor, and I think they helped produce or something a couple of films, and Elm Street was one of, if not the first. Because he put so much money into it, Shea kind of had a little bit more sway. So Craven wanted it to end pretty definitively, that was the end or whatever, she killed him and that they're moving on with their life. And Shea made him shoot a couple of different other endings because he knew
the old switcheroo
there. Yeah. So the one they chose where they're in the car and Freddie's not driving, but it kind of takes off and the girl. So they kind of opened the door or whatever. So Shea knew that there was franchise possibilities here. So they were also, typical producers, not smart enough. When we go to Elm Street 2, they weren't willing to pay Robert Englund the money to be Freddie. They thought they could do a Jason thing where it could be just random stunt person playing the Freddy Krueger character. And they quickly realized in the first week or two that this was not going to happen. And there's a couple shots where it is not Robert Englund, and you can tell it is not him. It might show up in the Elm Street 2 trailer. I'm not sure, but we can talk about that when we get there. But yeah, so it obviously, as we know, New Line is, they used to call it the house that Freddy built because they made... Freddy Krueger made New Line what it is today, or was before they got bought out.
Yeah, no, he bankrolled it.
Yeah,
good call, Robert. And here is the trailer, the next trailer.
Someone is coming back to Elm Street. He is not friendly. He is not patient.
Kill for me.
And he is not a welcome visitor.
No! No! No!
But he has something terribly special for the new kid on the block.
It started to happen again.
Dad!
I'm in trouble. You've had some scary dreams, okay? Help!
Daddy can't help you now.
There's something inside him.
Freddy Krueger is back on Elm Street.
Get out of here, Lisa!
Jesse, fight him!
Watch out for him. He'll be in your neighborhood soon. A Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 2.
You are all my children now.
Freddy's Revenge.
I love the flashing too. I don't know why. I always remember that. It was like two. I can't hear you.
I do like the flashing too.
Yep.
It makes me want to watch it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. And so a couple takeaways. They used Elm Street 2 music. which sometimes they just go back to, they just pipe in the original music. So this still, obviously you could tell now, obviously between title, whatever, it's a Freddy movie now. So, but it still makes you like, yeah, they're doing more. Can't wait to see how great it's going to be.
Right. And you could see they did almost Meryl Streep as Lisa in there.
Oh, yes.
More of a teen. I mean, the first one's certainly centric around teenagers, but it had more of a teenager appeal. Like, yo, this is our audience. This is the demographic. We're catering to this now. And I thought it's a solid trailer. It makes me want to see it. I like it.
It's a and these are all streaming, I think, on Max as well right now, if I remember right. So
they are. They are indeed. Yeah.
So so and as a movie, you know, it's, here's the thing, this trailer also matches the movie. It's not like you're getting sold a bill of goods. I won't name names, like Halloween 5, where like this time they're ready. I'm like, well, not really.
No, they weren't. Not prepared.
It matches what you see is kind of what you get. And still looks good to me. It kind of got me excited. So the scenes I was talking about are actually show up a couple times in the trailer. So during the gym shower and it's all foggy, you see Freddy Krueger walk up like this. Obviously, that is not Robert Englund.
I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can immediately tell. It's like, oh my God. Like, and obviously, thankfully, they're like, this is not.
Yeah. Good thing they had the wherewithal to say, like, this is not going to work.
Working. But yeah. So
must suck to be that guy and be like, yeah.
I was Freddy Krueger for a day.
Actually, it might be awesome to be like, I was Freddy Krueger for a day.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So anyway, but yeah, still holds up and kind of still get you excited. You know,
and does get you excited.
The same.
All right. But, yeah. We'll watch the next trailer.
Street Part 3. Freddy's just around the corner.
Can't hear.
Dream Warriors. Good trailer. A radical departure from the first two. Did not expect the hand to come out of the church.
Yeah, so yeah, obviously shot specifically for, as a teaser and not part of the movie. But,
right.
Yeah, as a, I was what, 17 then, or just about turned 16 when this came out. And I could be more excited. I remember reading Fangoria magazine that Heather Langenkamp was returning. I was like, I can't believe it. You
know, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I was like,
that's
rock. Yeah. And the first one I saw in the theater. But
and you'll have that song stuck in your head for hours. It's like Popeye.
Yeah. Sweet Heather. So good teaser trailer. It makes you want to see it. I think, I don't know.
Makes you want to see it. And you like Dream Warriors, don't you?
I did. Yeah. So that's probably, not my favorite of the sequels. We'll leave that for a later one, but obviously it still holds up and it's a fun one. Yeah.
It is a fun one.
Yeah. So
all right.
I do like when they create kind of something new just for the movie.
I do too. I was going to mention that when they, like the teaser, you're like, it's cool. Yeah. Okay. You're thinking about it. You're making it happen.
Yeah. Now let's see if things go downhill.
Oh, I know your thoughts on the next one.
Do you know what terror is?
Hello.
Do you live here?
Nobody lives here.
Real terror.
Yeah!
How long has it been since you've been on Elm Street? Welcome to a brand new nightmare. He is the first in fear.
Will you help me? I'm sorry, someone help me, please!
Second to none.
Don't let them put you to sleep.
He has no mercy. And no equal.
Now no one sleeps.
Get ready. This August, your wildest dreams will come true.
How sweet, fresh meat.
A Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 4. The Dream Master.
A radical departure from the from the others, of course.
It starts off good because like, okay. And then I remember the first time I saw the trailer because I was like, she goes into the house and the house is reversed from because the staircase is on the wrong side. In the movie, you realize why that is because she goes through the door and then she's in the other version, the mirror version of the house. But I remember like, that's not right. They messed it up.
Oh, you remember when the original release, like, this isn't right.
Yeah, I was like, that's not right. The stairs, they messed it up, you know.
Mess it up.
Yeah, but now we
know. You don't like 4.
I do not. This is where it became a little too mainstream, and you could see even just some of the shots.
In the trailer, you can see it's too gimmicky. Yeah,
it is MTV-ish and neon, whatever. I was like, oh, it's like, do you know what terror is? I'm like, yeah, the original.
Well, like the girl... The cockroach roach motel thing and the shark. I mean, they're hilarious, but they're ridiculous compared to the predecessor.
So, as a two years later, I was like, I was not happy. Or a year later, I guess I said, it was actually a year later. I was like, I was an unhappy teenager. I was like, no.
So you were what, 17?
I was 18 by this came out, but it was almost a year and a half after Dream Warrior. So, and this I think made the most probably at the time. And so I get it, you know, but I was just like, it was fine. But no, not. I could already tell something. It had already kind of run its.
Robert knows best.
Well, we'll see. So
let's see how the series trailers progresses, shall we?
I don't have sound.
All major theme parks have delays when Walt Disney opened up in 1945. Here we go.
Freddy didn't eat that.
His mother was a God-fearing woman. His birth was an unspeakable horror.
Please don't let him do that!
His life and death have been one incredible nightmare. But now all that is going to change because Freddy wants to become a daddy.
Wanna make babies?
What's wrong with me?
You're just a little pregnant.
Even if he has to adopt.
No!
One more baby's dream.
When it comes to chills.
It happened while I was awake.
When it comes to screams.
The part just start.
When it comes to pure terror.
Bon appetit.
No one delivers like Freddy.
Better buckle up.
All right, Krueger. This time it's for keeps.
A Nightmare on Elm Street 5. The Dream Child.
It's a boy!
When it comes to terror, remember, Freddy knows best.
I think that's the worst trailer I've seen so far.
Cramming so many baby or parenthood.
You're just a little pregnant.
Lines. Yeah, yeah.
The unborn baby's dream? It's a boy!
This is for keeps.
That was Freddy so bad.
That, like, they literally like every line they could put in there. So
that's a terrible trailer, right, Robert?
It is, and it made me, you know, you're like, I was like, as an original Elm Street, I was like, oh my, like, I was like, yeah, no, I see how quickly it devolved into, and this one did not do well. The movie is actually a little bit better than the probably trailer indicates, but yeah, yeah. I was just like,
Nightmare 5 and Friday the 13th 5, they don't get any love.
They do not.
What do you make of the all the baby references, though? Like
a little too much. Like, we got it. You know, like, it's already called The Dream Child. We don't need to keep saying. And that's why I'm like, here's our three favorite taglines. We're going to say them all because we don't, you know.
Right. Yeah. Like, The Dream Child, I get crowbarring one or two baby references, but there was like four or five.
I don't know. Even if he has to adopt.
No, that
what kind of line is that?
Right. Even if.
Even so if it's bad. An orphan baby.
So
I wish they would have kept it a little, because it almost started, I'm like, where you like, what is this movie? You know, like, you know, I kind of like that maybe mystery of like, what trailer am I seeing something for? And
yeah.
They quickly turn it into the circus of Freddy, but.
I like when films do that, when trailers, it could be interesting, even if it wasn't what it is, like it becomes something different. And they kind of were going that direction, and then it got bad.
There's like. Could be anything, and like, and here's how Danny dies, and here's how, you know, like, which here's I hate, like, happens. Like when the Halloween 2018, like, I try not to even watch commercials, but like, literally, two frames, I'd be like, oh, I know how that's gonna end, you know, like, it's like,
yeah,
like, don't show everything, you know,
right? I know what you're talking about,
or they find a dead body, and I like recognize the sweater, I'm like, well, bye, Nurse Marriott, like, thanks.
Oh my gosh.
All right. We might have.
You want to fire up the next one?
Yeah, go ahead. It's about they save the best for last.
As a boy, he was always different. No one understood him.
You really bored, boy?
It's time to take your medicine.
Thank you, sir.
No one could control him.
Go inside, honey.
But now, it's a new beginning. The beginning of the end for Freddy.
Every town has an Elm Street. While the bus is in motion,
it's your mind you'll go for.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little soul too.
We're gonna have to hit him with everything we've got.
Now I'm playing with power.
We're in Twin Peaks here.
It's gotta be me and him.
You wanna live?
Maggie, what's up?
What's with kids today, huh?
Freddy's dead. The final nightmare.
Great graphics.
They've saved the best for last.
Yes. Was that Alice Cooper in there?
Yeah, that's Freddy's dad.
Nice. I do like that they explored, they touched, because I thought they should have done the origin stories a little bit, but they didn't save the best for last.
No. Almost same thing. I like the first 30 seconds because there's like, he was, you know, like, I'm like, what are you watching here? Whatever. If they would have just kind of kept that up and I would say kept it classy, you're like, ooh, this could be good. Quickly you realize, you know, Freddy's in the Wicked Witch of the West and then this is happening. Or
I'll swallow your soul.
Yeah, and the driving a bus. And I was like, oh, this isn't going to be good. I didn't realize how bad some of the, it's not really ADR, but they add these like, you know, like for people screaming. Yeah. It's like, it's so bad. It's not even part of the, you could tell it's, I don't remember that at the time. But
no. Great locations though in the movie. Like you've done that, those shots. There are some cool shots in there.
Yeah.
You posted recently. That's why it's fresh. But don't you think the origin story though, that could have been better if they did that a little bit more, like showed more of the
could have earlier. Been. And there were some decent moments in there where actually in the actual movie where, you know, Robert Englund
as a man
being kind of creepy and so forth. Yeah. But but as a whole,
tough. It's tough.
As a 21 year old, I can't even tell you how. It's like, oh my, like, why? I remember friends like, why'd you drag us to this? I'm like, I don't know. It was the last one.
What number was Freddy's Dead? Seven?
Six.
Six.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they didn't save the best for last.
No, but they kind of did if we consider seven, but we'll see that next.
We'll see that next.
Yeah.
All right. So let's... Lost the share screen button. So let's talk about Omaha, Nebraska. And
all the fun things happening.
All right.
Anything exciting is happening. Go ahead.
It's always exciting. Here we go.
Marcus, Common Market.
I'm doing a film about my nightmares as I'm dreaming them. In order for the movie to continue, it was dependent on me having more nightmares. Well, fortunately, I did.
I'm a little frightened by what Wes may have tapped into. I frankly felt that it was over when we did the final nightmare.
In a town where movies go over schedule, and directors go over budget, something far more evil is out of control.
The world of horror films suffered its own terror today as two of Hollywood's best-known special effects technicians were found dead.
Part of the theme of the movie is becoming like part of the making of the movie.
I think that only happens in the movies.
What happens when the story dies, the evil is set free. Now that the films have ended, the genie's out of the bottle. That's what the nightmares are telling me, and that's what I'm writing.
This is still a script we're talking about, right, Wes?
We've decided to cross over out of films into our reality.
The only way to stop them is to make another movie.
Oh, my God.
The bad man's getting awful close.
You're going to have to make a choice.
What kind of choice?
Whether or not you're willing to play Nancy. One last time.
No!
Cut the effect!
Isn't there somebody who can stop him?
That person's you.
Who I mean?
It was you that gave Nancy her strength.
Nancy.
Almost.
Where's
my gun?
Oh.
Sally. I'll tell you the issue with the trailer is the movie itself is a little ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
So the trailer, people weren't ready for that yet, and the trailer was so convoluted, it didn't really establish what it was about, what it was for.
I remember even as a fan reading about, they were calling it Nightmare on Elm Street 7, I think Ascension at the time. I was confused about, because I read it, it was like they're playing themselves, and I'm like, what? I mean, as a fan, I didn't quite get it either. You know, I was like, what is this movie? So even going into it, that opening night, I was like, once you got into it, I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of what they're doing. A couple things. I was like, one, I love the trailer. It makes me excited to go watch it again. I love the soundtrack. And Heather Langenkamp is at her best, and she's looking her best. I just love her. Yeah.
Yeah. Good call.
But
you saw this theatrically, obviously.
Oh,
you walked
yes.
away like you knew you were happy and everything.
I love this one. Yeah. So I knew immediately. Yeah. So there was kind of hitting all the buttons. And one of my favorite moments was when she why do you keep calling me Nancy, John? And he's like, why do you keep calling me John? You know, like they're arguing as they go out of the house. And then he gets to his car and he turns around and all of a sudden he's in his Elm Street costume with the badge, and the car behind him is his 1984 car, you know, like, and he's like, you realize that she's now have devolved into that. And then they come back to her and she's in her pajamas. And then, you know, he drives off and they kind of do that slow turnaround. And now she's actually in front of the Elm Street house. I was like, I was in movie heaven.
Yeah. That is so cool. Yeah. And especially the way they did it too.
Yeah.
I mean, the cinematography. Yeah. And...
so they were, what was supposed to happen is what happens in the movie is that she faces and she runs into the door and the door shuts behind her. And she's supposed to be in the Elm Street set, had the house from the original movie. But budget wise, they didn't want to do that. So now she runs in, The door shuts, and she's in her normal house in Tarzana.
Right. Yeah.
But I was like,
I've seen it.
Yeah. I would have peed my pants if she,
oh yeah,
if they brought back the original Elm Street set. Cause I think they still had it in storage too, but they're like, oh, it was too much money. I was like, please. And like,
please.
I would have not known what to do with myself.
Oh, could you imagine?
Yeah. So, but yeah, so yeah, I'd love that in the theaters. The trailer obviously made me excited to see it, and watching it now makes me kind of re-excited to.
It is a good movie and ahead of its time. They did a great job.
God, what'll be what? 94 was it be? Would it be 30 years? Yeah.
Yeah. Next 30 years next year. Yeah,
crazy. But it was a meta movie before I think we even knew what meta was.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Totally ahead of its time. Where I'm sitting right now is actually where the base camp was for the movie. And nobody else knows that but me. And do you know how I know?
How do you know?
I'll tell you the truth, Robert. I'm Robert
Englund. Ah!
That doesn't make sense.
I knew it. It does not. But this whole time, yeah.
Moving along. We got two left, and they're both glorious.
Gosh.
Warn your friends. Warn them. Hi, I'm Zhao Yigong. As a traditional Chinese medicine chef and food therapist.
Spider.
Welcome to my nightmare.
We're not safe awake or asleep.
Why won't you die?
Go now!
Freddy versus Jason.
Place your bets.
I don't think that was the true trailer, though.
No, for some reason, they used the Blu-ray trailer for that. So for listeners, they're probably like, what is this? It was probably to their advantage not to put any as... hardly any dialogue to make the movie more enticing. But I was like, place your bets. I was like, oof, like that's what you chose as the, for listeners who can tell, that was the Freddy versus Jason trailer. The lack of dialogue actually makes it look more interesting than it is.
Yes, agreed.
In reality. Should have, like one, we talked about this before, probably a decade too late to kind of, catch on that, but a lot of people still like this, but it was like you can't win this movie. Would never work. It only works in kind of some ideas and, you know, playground.
No, neither intellectual property will win. And I think you and I, we've done a few shows on Friday the 13th movies ranked. I feel like you place this one below Jason Goes to Hell.
I don't even know if I'd count this one as anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, there's nothing.
I do love the guy, the actor from, I forget his name. He's in Night at the Roxbury and Clueless. He plays the sheriff in this, the deputy.
Oh,
he's like, do you kids need some assistance?
I know that's your favorite line. Yeah. I can't remember his name. So
you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, he does conventions because he's in one of my favorite movies, Dead Man on Campus.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about that.
Oh my, that is like I actually had him write
up. He's a great actor. He's hilarious.
His entire like 6 lines of dialogue for both me and my sister on his thing from Dead Man on Campus. But
nice.
Yeah, so ignoring the trailer for now. Yeah, the movie it has a couple of good moments. I like the opening death with the kid in the bed that he smashes in half or whatever. I was like, oh, okay. But I remember immediately like, oh, they did Friday the 13th wrong, you know. They at least got Freddy back, so there's some continuity there. But it was like, that's not our Jason. That's not Mrs. Voorhees. That's not, they almost did Neve Campbell, but I think they did approach Betsy Palmer to the movie would probably added 2 stars if they got Betsy Palmer back for one scene to play Mrs. Voorhees. I couldn't imagine, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were willing to not pay her the money or what. I can't remember what it was, but like she would have been worth
paid her the money
every penny.
No, I remember the remake. I watching that in the theater and the scene where the voiceover and they're showing the camp counselors and everything. You're like, what are we watching? This isn't Crystal Lake.
I know.
Like, it just didn't look like it, and I don't know.
Made up stuff, like, Freddy's afraid of water, Jason's afraid of water. How can we use them? Like, that's not true.
That's not part of the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole Jason's like, he's been in the lake I don't know how many times. He's not afraid of water.
He's lived underwater. He was chained there for, like, years.
Like Freddy's
afraid the whole thing, afraid of water, I was like, no, he's not. No, that's not. Okay. We have one more here. I remember this one. I saw this theatrically, and there was a child in a stroller crying at the 10:40 show.
I remember you talk about that, so.
I'll never forget it. All right, let's watch the final trailer.
Like a good idea at the time. I don't hear you. Oh. Click it. I don't hear you. Yeah, you're not coming. I don't hear you.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yep.
They should have had Amber Heard and Johnny Depp.
Then it'd be the true Ross, or you're a nightmare. So same thing. It started off good. I was like, ooh, you know, this is a darker take. You know, seeing Freddy getting whatever, and almost immediately, you know, it's like, let me rip off my jacket so you can see my sweater, and then
yes, right away, like
yeah,
hey,
and it's followed from producer Michael Bay, and I you just feel like click, you know, like no, you already know it's gonna be not good.
Yeah, the jacket. They're like, I'm burning. Let me just show you my jacket. And a Superman, yeah, like ripping it off.
I'm wearing a red and green sweater, everybody. Wink.
Wink. What is this? That trailer reeks 2010 too.
Yes. So there's moments that are like, okay, maybe. And then, and I forget there's moments that are actually not in the movie. of scenes they cut out. So, because I remember waiting for certain scenes. Yeah, and there's like, remember he's standing on the roof by the pool and stuff like, there's scenes that are, they've completely cut out.
Okay.
But yeah, so, but then also it has moments of like, oh, they're doing a different, not a different take, but something updated. But then they have almost a shot by shot, you know, with the glove and the bathtub. And I was like, well,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is this? Is this the same or is it not, you know?
Yep.
But
yeah, I noticed that with the shots, like the distinguishing exact shots, you're like, yeah, okay, what's going on here? But they took a lot of departures.
Yeah, so seeing that trailer, I also knew, I'm like, no, this is not for me. They're just using the title. But
how did Nightmare on Elm Street do that one financially? Was it a
I don't think it did very well because obviously they decided to do another sequel. I mean, I think if it would have done very well, they probably would have tried to franchise that. But
yeah.
I think it was also they weren't quite, they, you know, they're trying to capture, you know, there was, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake had done well. And so they were just kind of trying all these, you know, names and so forth. And after like, and that's where like for a while I thought they would never touch Halloween, you know, and then of course that remake. So that kind of felt like opened the floodgates, saying we can remake anything and nobody will care.
Right. Yeah. Let's just do everything.
Yeah. So at this point, that was kind of like, and that's why sometimes I'm like, I don't care what they remake next. They'll just can't. God bless them. Go for
it. Yeah. Right. Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Did you see the trailer for Thanksgiving?
I did. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. They're going to, I'm a big Eli Roth fan. He's been waiting a long time for this movie and, it's going to be good.
They've got an interesting cast too. So we shall see.
Yeah. They had Patrick Dempsey in there.
Yeah. As like, is he playing the same, Detective Kincaid from Scream 3?
Yeah, he's the cop.
Well, yeah. It's like, are we doing some multi-universe things here?
Right. I know. Nightmare on Elm Street, yeah, it the remake, I mean, Michael Bay, he was kind of in that zone there. What were they doing? I don't know.
Money.
Exactly. Yeah. But the original always is a classic.
Yeah.
And that was a good segment, Robert.
Yeah. Nobody looks back at that one and say, "Yeah, that was so much better."
It's an afterthought. I'll watch Friday the 13th remake before that, I think.
Oof.
That's a tough one with that 20-minute opening.
Yeah, I maybe saw this one twice. So,
oh, you're a good man. Mm. All right, and finally we have Blind Man's Bluff. Ooh. Random. This is not a random page of Robert's website. I specifically chose this one because it's a great one, as they all are. But Robert, I'm going to start off with the description.
Okay.
Can you tell me what it is, sir? The well-regarded sequel stayed close to its roots, picking up moments after the first film ended.
Halloween 2?
Yes, sir. Many locations make appearances in the film. Now, I got to ask you, the hospital, this is a big no-no for set jetters. You can't just go there, right?
Well, you can. It's one of those things that, so years ago, I'm like Sean Clark posted about, you know, like he was taking pictures, or whatever, and he got detained and questioned and
yeah,
big to do. So it is a VA hospital. And so there's, kind of a big no-no, so you're not supposed to be around there and so forth. But yeah, so as we go through, you'll see some random pictures I took of the hospital over the years. Or I do need to do a better updated page of this. But we, of course, start with the Doyle House. The lights are on, even though the lights were off in the original.
Good call.
A little bit of retconning that they did. But as you can see, it looked mostly the same.
Yeah. No, I like it.
And of course, the house never worked. What's going on out here? I've been trick-or-treated to death tonight.
What's going on in here? Yeah. Post-credit sequence opens in the alley behind the Elrod house.
Yes. So
this was in Halloween Ends, right? This
Halloween Kills, Street? They kind of try to replicate Kills. This kind of alley. They did a pretty good job of kind of finding something similar. So,
yeah,
right next to like that. Yeah, sometimes if there's not foliage, you can still see that X on the on that light pole. But yeah, so this is not too far from the Myers house. It's the alley's actually right next to the Pretty in Pink house. So you can do a couple double locations there.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Alice's house is in Sierra. So the John Carpenter did some additional shooting. So the Elrod house was one place in Pasadena, and then he added a reshoot. So now Michael's supposed to be behind the Elrod's house, but it's actually now in Sierra Madre. All roads lead to Sierra Madre.
Yes, they do. Movie magic.
Yep. So
nice work.
This is where Michael approaches Alice's house.
This was on one of your night tours.
Yeah. So I've done day and night for this. So surprisingly, everything looks about the same for Alice's house.
It does. Yeah. Years. No, it really does.
Yep. So this is kind of in the back way of that. So we'll kind of skip through. This is just more Doyle house with random people. Right. And then they go back to the Myers house, of course. And then this house here that they drive by, that house is actually the interiors for the Wallace house. So
is this where they hit Ben Tramer?
That's a little bit, right? It's probably next. So
okay, what did you say? I'm sorry, about Ben Wallace?
No, so the Wallace house, Lindsay Wallace's house, the interiors were shot at this house, even though the exterior was shot across the street. So that's the house I would also like to get inside. But here is where poor Ben Tramer meets his main. So this is on the other side of the alley. So if you go down that street farther, the Elrod house, the front of the Elrod house is there. So and then this is actually also Dr. Loomis's fault. He makes some poor teenager run into the street.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, a cop going way too fast apparently just plows
that gun is a heightened sense of security.
Yes. And they're like, is it him or not? I'm like, I don't know. He wasn't wearing a sweater.
And then they're like, we're just going to let you slide for carrying an open firearm.
Yeah.
For causing a death and firing an open.
So that's what I really think. I'm like, Dr. Loomis caused more deaths than Michael Myers for all this. So.
And this scene, this location, I mean, was all, this is my favorite, as we mentioned, scene in the movie, favorite shot, I should say, was also in Halloween 3 when he was on the phone with the six pack, right?
Yes. Right here. Yep. So same spot. So, so the gal she's talking to, you may recognize her from Prom Night. And she was also married to Michael Crichton and co-wrote Twister.
Oh, cool.
That is her. She goes,
oh yeah.
She needs a ride. Like, can't you ask Eddie Lee?
He's
in Russellville.
He's around.
You promised.
Oh, old Eddie.
I know I did. Yeah. So.
You promised. Right. It's such an inconvenience.
Here is Boombox Boy.
There it is.
And there is him. So he's actually the son of Dick Warlock, who played Michael Myers. So one time they were both on a bus tour and they recreated that scene there. So.
Oh, that is so cool.
There he is many years later. Same spot. Doing the same move.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. What year was this, Robert, that you
did? I think that was 2008, maybe, that they did that. They both.
I just want to see if the Hopper is in here.
I think I might have. Well, I don't think I did.
That's the Hopper.
There he is. He's a Hopper. Let's go one more. Nope, I'm sorry. I didn't get the actual hopping scene, but it is that pole's right there. So many fans have hopped past that.
I love the speaking of Haddonfield Memorial Hospital, tomorrow you will have a special gift in the mail.
Ooh, well, I'll see you. I have a birthday gift for you, so I'm going to bring.
Oh, are you in town tomorrow?
No, but I show up next week for 3
weeks. That's right. Oh, you're too kind.
Yeah.
And there's the woman that ruined the franchise.
Yes, and there she is smoking in the school. So.
How dare
you. So this is the same Garfield Elementary that they shot. That classroom is the same that Laurie Strode was looking out. So.
Oh, it's the same one?
Yeah.
Same location?
Marshall's waiting for you outside. Yeah.
I love the Marshall's car too.
So Michael in the original, his car was right across the street. So, but yeah, there is.
I love it. That is cool. That is cool.
And then, yeah. What do you guys fire a warning shot? So this is where.
The turnaround is comedic genius though. It's just, I mean, it is funny.
So, this is up at Hanson Dam. So.
Oh, okay.
Kind of random.
Yeah. Good. good free shot for them to film it at.
Yep. And that car. Oh, so yeah. So we, when we were at the Friday 13th Part 3 barn a couple years ago, the owner of the ranch was pointing out, he kept stopping and said, give us little tidbits, which was fantastic. And then as we were leaving, he says, and this car was in Halloween. And we're like, all right. We all knew Halloween pretty well. And we were like, that car is not in Halloween. You know, like we know our stuff.
Yeah, right.
And then later I was like, oh my God, he's talking about Halloween 2. So wow. If we would have known, we would have actually stopped and gotten into that car. So that's the car where the whole, you know, that's Michael Myers' sister, you know, we would have gotten in the back seat and recreated it. So that car still exists, or it did exist at least a year or two ago.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Yeah. And wow. I'm mad because the guy knew everything he was talking about, but that was the one thing I was like, that's not Halloween. You know, like, it
really, right.
We don't, I didn't think he's mixing it up. And I was like, oh, he was right. It was, but you know, it's Halloween 2.
I wonder if it's still there.
I don't know. Next time I'll go back and hopefully I was like, no, we scrapped that. I was like, no, it's.
Yeah. It looks like it's on its last leg, but
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. The,
Mr. Garrett's. Yeah. So this is to the kind of left of the main hospital. So this part looks virtually still the same. Where
it really does.
Mr. Garrett is kind of looking for who knows what.
Garrett? Mr. Garrett looked like a pervert.
Well.
This is a great shot, though. It looks pretty much the same.
Yeah. So. And so the hospital itself. So they had some additions. So it is a little hard to kind of line up. So they added some things and some things they added for the movie. So you can kind of see, and there's a lot of foliage now. So it is hard to kind of see exactly where they kind of put different things. But that is Haddonfield Memorial Hospital up in.
Oh, so this really is the entrance here?
Yeah. So that's kind of where that was at the time. So.
Oh.
You kind of.
It's
see
iconic.
It. Yeah. It's kind of put it together, but and they added kind of some different pieces, so and the parking lot was a little different, so as you go by it's kind of nice to visit, but it also doesn't quite look like you don't pull
it
up
doesn't like, look like the it, movie
it's like is this it you know
yeah
but it's kind of different enough but
interesting
they reshot the ending with the fireball scene, so I'm pretty sure they shot that at this studios across the street from Paramount, so I kind of recognize some of the different spots. But
yeah, I know where that is. That's cool.
I couldn't get over there, of course, but that's where that is shot. Brian had recently they found some more spots because they used about four different places for different hospital interiors. So he has some good shots.
Nice.
Different places they've used that I've not visited yet, but they're out there. So
they are out there.
Of course, I've met quite a few of the Halloween cast over the members years.
Oh, wow. Oh, these are really cool.
There's Nurse Karen.
Yep.
She's Mrs. Al.
Let's do breakfast.
She's super nice. There's your bad medic.
He's in Analyze This. That's where else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's in The Accused with Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's Mr. Garrett, who has since passed away.
Yeah, he's a good character.
Look how young I was in that first picture.
Oh, wow.
That was the first Halloween convention 20 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And the shirt I'm wearing is it's actual 1988 Halloween 4 shirt.
Oh, it's an original.
It's an original from when I was 18. Yeah.
Do you still have it?
I still have it. I probably can't fit in. I fit into it a few years ago, but you may know him best from Jaws and Jaws 2.
Indeed.
So.
Yep.
There's Nurse Marion.
These are great. These are fantastic.
Oh, I know all the stars.
I know all the stars. Hey, kid, you want to meet the stars?
Oh, here's the kid that he's the one that bit into the razor.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, her parents like, oh, I know, honey. Like,
I know, honey. Right. Poor guy.
Yeah. There's where Ford Rainey, Dr. Mixter, is buried. So, I think it was I can't remember which cemetery. So, and Michael Myers himself.
That's perfect.
Boombox Boy.
That's great. Where's this up here at the top?
That's the 25th. That was 20 years ago as well. So, Oh, look, I mixed up the pics. I did that wrong. I reversed it. So he was in the flashback scenes where Laurie's visiting him. So
she remembers.
And Mustafa Akkad. He was also at the 25th anniversary, and passed away a couple years after that. So, or actually passed away. He was killed in a bombing. So,
yeah, right. Wow.
Lucky to meet him.
Yeah, no, that really is lucky. Dean Cundey.
Yeah, can't go wrong with any of his movies.
No, they're all great. Great cinematographer.
Erwin Yablans, also producer of Roller Boogie.
Roller Boogie.
Yeah. He's credited for actually making the movie set on Halloween.
Oh, really?
As opposed to The Babysitter Murders. Yep.
Very cool.
And the director, Rick Rosenthal, of your favorite Halloween sequel.
Yes.
And your least favorite Halloween sequel, Halloween Resurrection.
Yeah, I know. I saw that one in the theater and I was like, this sucks.
Ugh, it was painful.
With Busta Rhymes, and you're like, what is he doing here?
Yeah, so, but
not that he's a bad actor, but that was a bad movie.
Yeah, so he's still married to Nancy Stevens, who plays Nurse Marion.
So cool. That's a great page. Yeah. This has been a great, solid show. We got over two hours of magic here.
We did it.
So now that the rehearsals are over, I can start recording. And
all right, now I'm ready.
5, 4. Well, that'll be our show tonight. Robert, thanks to you always for taking the time, sir.
Welcome. Happy birthday.
Thank you, my friend. And thank all of you for listening to the podcast, Set Jetter Saturdays. We will see you on the set.